bid you a good afternoon, Glasgow. A pleasure, delight to be here in your midst this afternoon. Bring to you the glad tidings, good news, declaration that God has love for you. His Son Jesus Christ is dead for sinners. That's the only qualification, don't you know, for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven, to be a sinner. Of course, if you argue, if you reject that, you say you're not a sinner, you call God a liar, and you also exclude yourself from the kingdom of God and from all the blessings of God. So the message, the gospel, this good news, it's only for sinners. So if you're not one of those, if you're not one of us, then I guess maybe perhaps you should just move on and neglect that which we're saying. But the good news is that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. He rose again from the dead. He has conquered sin, death, and hell. For those, that is, of course, and only those, exclusively for those who believe. Whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, that is, but have everlasting life. Faith, that is what is required of you this afternoon, Glasgow. We bring the good news to you. It's the hope of the nations. It's the only hope of any nation. It's the only hope of any city, any person. And so we come here to testify before you this afternoon that of the hope that we have as Christians. We're not religious, we're not Roman Catholics, we're not Buddhists, we don't belong to Islam. We're simply Christians. That is, we believe in the Word of God, the Bible, in its authority. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, and that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, took our nature, bled and died on the cross, and rose again from the dead, in order that sinners like you and I, that we might be restored to God's favor, that we might come to know Him. Not just knowledge of Him from a book or because I've told you, but to know Him experientially, that is to know Him intimately, relationally, to know God as your Father, to know God as your Shepherd, to know God as your friend and not your enemy. You need my gospel? Why do I need to hear this? You may ask the question. Well, because God says, not me. God says that you are, we all of us, we were conceived in sin in our mother's wombs. That's where our sin began. How are you doing, sir?
I'm a good one.
That's where our sin begins, in our mother's womb. We are conceived in sin at that moment of conception there, deep in your mother's womb. That's where life begins, contrary to the murdering modern-day abortionists. That's where life begins, when life begins, and that's where your sin career begins as well, at the moment of conception. And then 9 months later, we're born in sin, and we live in sin. We live out of sinful natures. That's why, you may have noticed, but that's why the world's in such a mess that it's in. That's why the violence, that's why the killing, that's why the famine, that's why the wars, that's why the earthquakes, that's why the world's in a mess. Because out of the hearts of men and women the world over, every single one of us, comes nothing but sin, sin, sin. Walking, breathing, talking sin. That's all any of us are. But the good news, the gospel, the glad tidings, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him a gift to the world, a gift to whoever will believe in his Son Jesus Christ. So here in my presence, in God's presence, this afternoon in Glasgow, the hand of God is reached out to you. Here's my Son, he says to the world again. Take him, believe on him, and you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The suffering in the world, people come to me with the question, they say, well, if God is, why is there so much suffering? That's not the right question. The right question is, why is there not more suffering? Because we are so sinful, we are so wicked, we are so evil, we are so rebellious against God. Every day of our lives, we provoke God to more and more wrath and anger. The astonishing, the amazing thing is that God, in his mercy, in his kindness, in his love, out of his good pleasure, has given us a remedy for that sin condition. The blood of his Son Jesus Christ shed on that cross, that you and I, that we might be washed, that we might be cleansed, that we might be delivered from those sin natures, that we might be changed and transformed by the power of the gospel, God's power unto salvation, and that we might be transformed by the power of God's love. So my statement here to you this afternoon, Glasgow, hear me. God loves you. Christ is dead for your sins, alive from the dead to justify you, to make you right with God. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? You must do something about it. Not just hear about it. Not just be a hearer of God's word, but a doer of it. God requires something of you. What does he require? He requires that you repent and that you believe the gospel. You believe the good news. You believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. You believe into his Son, Jesus Christ. You receive him. Came to his own people, but they did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, to those that believed on his name, he gave the right, authority, the power to become children of God. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you become a Christian, by believing God's message of salvation, by believing the good news of the gospel, receiving and accepting God's provision that he has made the gift of God to the world. For God so loved the world, Glasgow city even, part of the world. God so loved you, Glasgow, that he gave his only begotten Son, that in receiving him, believing on his name, that you might have life eternal, life everlasting, salvation, deliverance from the power, from the ravages of sin that eat into your soul day by day, killing you softly, killing you silently day by day. The wages of sin is death. It kills everybody in the end. It's the only cause of death that there is. Not cancer, not COVID, not car accidents. Sin is the cause. You get rid of the sin, you get rid of the death. And there's only one person who can deliver you from the sin. Jesus Christ came into the world. The Bible says not to make you healthy, wealthy, prosperous. He came into the world to save sinners. And that's what we all are. That's God's testimony. All who sin that come short of the glorious standard of God that He has set for us. None of us have even hit the target, never mind reached the bullseye. No, man in his rebellion tears down God's standard, God's target, and says, no, I'll set up my own target. I'll say what's right and wrong. I'll say what's moral and what's immoral. Man puts himself in the place of God in his rebellion against his Maker. It's this that you need saving from, Glasgow. Glasgow sinners, whatever stripe, whatever kind of sinner it is that you be, you need saving. Judgment is coming. It's not far away. That day when God shall judge all men by His Son, Jesus Christ. God has given notice to the world. God has given notice to the world that He intends to judge the world. That's every man, woman, and child born into this world, that He intends to judge the world in righteousness, perfect righteousness, His righteousness, not yours, not mine, not your standard, God's standard, that He intends to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus will either be your judge, or He'll be your Savior, your advocate in that day when you stand before God in judgment, as you must. It is appointed unto man once to die. Inevitable. After that comes the judgment. Inescapable. Oh, death is not the friend. It's not the end, Glasgow. Death is not the end. You can end your life, you can finish your life, but that's not the end of your being, your existence. It's appointed unto man, marked on God's calendar, the moment when you or I will breathe our last and go out of this world. It's not in your hands. Your times are not in your hands, in God's hands. He tells you when it's over. He called you out of this world, marked in God's calendar, the very moment when you will breathe your last. Close your eyes in death and open them on the other side, and you'll be faced with the judge of all the earth, Jesus. Judge Jesus, terrible, terrible judge you'll be confronted with in that day. So I would seek to persuade you, implore you to be reconciled to God today, now, while you have the breath of life in you, as you hear the gospel, as you hear the truth as it is in Jesus, the everlasting gospel sent to save you, declared amongst you in Glasgow today, that you might be reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way back to God. There is no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other name. None other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. What mediator between God and man? The man Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So today, Glasgow, hear the voice of love. Hear the voice of God calling you apart, away from your sin, out of the darkness, and into His marvelous light, into His exquisite love, His favor, reconciled to your Maker, and ready, prepared, eager, even to be done with this world, and then to be with your Maker, to be with the Savior Jesus forever and ever. A heavenly mansion, a heavenly home, as opposed, that is, to a hellish hovel. Salvation, salvation, we declare amongst you, Glasgow, not religion. Not religion. Religion does nothing for anybody. Dead religion, dead prophets, can't put life into dead souls. It's a living Savior that you need. One who has conquered death. One who has conquered sin, the cause of death. And one who has conquered hell, the consequences of sin and death. The outworking, the final outworking of your sin. Pleasure, as my brother said earlier. Yes, there's pleasure in sin. We know that. We all know that. That's why we love it. Yes, there's pleasure in sin. God acknowledges that. But it's transient. It's only but for a moment. But the consequences, the outworking of it, is disastrous, is destructive, is death, and the end of it is hell. My prayer for you, my desire for you, Glasgow, is that you would be saved, that you would come to know God's salvation, that you would be brought to a knowledge of God and of His love through His Son, Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave you Jesus and gave Him to die on a cross, to suffer, to bleed, to die, to take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame, the curse of God and the wrath of God from off you, to deliver you, save you from your worst enemy, only ever to take away from you that which is destructive, that which is killing you, that which is destroying you, and one day will destroy you eternally. While you may, while you have the breath of life in you, while you hear the gospel, believe. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says the Savior. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen up, Glasgow. Listen good. Hear the word of God and live. Do what He tells you to do. Go to Christ. Go to Christ and you shall live. 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 Live abundantly. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Set you today, Glasgow. That's how you would describe yourself today, as somebody with abundant life in your soul, or just existing, just getting by, just coping day by day, sometimes maybe hanging on by your fingernails. That's not what God has for you. That's not what Jesus came to give, to dispense to men and women the blessings of God, life and love and lasting joy found in Jesus, but only in Jesus. No other name under heaven by which you must be saved. So hear, if you will, hear the word of God declared to you today. It's God's word, it's not mine. Bible says that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's all men. That's us all. Like I say, death is not the end. What happens after death? Oh, you say nobody knows. Nobody ever came back to tell us. We don't know what happens after death. Some people, they claim that they had experiences of death and they were revived and they said there's nothing there. Not true. That's not death. Death is separation from God, from all that's good. Death, my friends, is what Jesus endured upon that cross. Forsaken of God, abandoned, hell came upon him upon that cross. He cried from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Answer to that question, that you might not be forsaken, but that you might know everlasting life, that you might be saved from death and from hell. But here you are today, dead in your trespasses and sin. Here you are today without the life of God in your soul. Here you are now faced with the inevitability of death. One day you'll breathe your last and you'll go out of this world. What then? What will happen to you when you breathe your last, when you close your eyes in death, Glasgow? What will it be for you? Well, the Bible says, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Which one? Which one will it be, Glasgow? Which one will it be for you? Will it be everlasting life? Will it be shame and everlasting contempt? That's the end of unbelief, the latter. To awaken after death, to close your eyes in death, and then to awaken to everlasting life, well, you must need, first of all, you must need repent and believe the gospel, because unless you do, the good news is declared to you. The good news is made known to you. The gospel is proclaimed amongst you. But what have you done about it? What will you do about it? Hearing is not enough. You must do something with what you are hearing. In order to awaken to everlasting life, you must repent of your sin. You cannot be saved in your sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from, not in their sins. The sin has to go. The sin is displeasing to God. The sin is what causes the judgment and the wrath of God to be upon you in the first place. The Bible also says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The truth of the knowledge of God. You hold it down. You suppress it in unrighteousness and wickedness, in unbelief. And you live in denial of God, in denial of your sin, in denial of the gospel, and denial of the day of judgment to come. You live in denial of these things. That sin. The sin has to go. There has to be repentance. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. The Savior, the one who paid the price for sin, the one who suffered and bled and died for sin. He demands of you. He tells you. There has to be repentance. There has to be a turning from sin. There has to be a sorrow. There has to be a weeping. There has to be a brokenheartedness. You sinned against God. You sinned against His law. You sinned against His love. You've trampled His love underfoot. And you've trampled the blood of His Son under your feet as well. Every time you hear the gospel and reject it, you trample the blood of God's Son under your feet. So God requires of you, the Savior requires of you, that you repent. Repent, He says. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Perish in your sin. If you don't repent, if you don't turn from it, your unbelief, your idolatry, your covetingness, your greed, your immorality, your lying, your stealing, if you do not repent of it, turn from it, give it up, and trust in the only Savior, Jesus Christ, if you do not repent, Jesus says, you will perish in your sin. You will die in your sin, and you will awaken to everlasting contempt and shame. If you have any notion at all, Glasgow sinners today, of one day getting to heaven, of one day being with God for all eternity, I tell you, on the authority of God's word, the Bible, you must repent. There must be repentance with you, a turning from your sin, forsaking it, abandoning it, leaving it without any thought of returning to it. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere. Doesn't matter where you come from, whether you come from Glasgow or whether you come from that other place, Edinburgh, or you come from Pakistan or Afghanistan or Alaska. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter what your background. Doesn't matter what your color, your creed. Doesn't matter what your religion is. God now commands all men and women, all men everywhere, to repent. There must be repentance. If you're to awaken when you die, when you breathe your last, when you go out of this world, if you expect to awaken to everlasting life, there must be repentance. A turning, forsaking all sin and turning to God. So you say, well, what is sin? God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Worshipping other gods, idolatry, false religion, Rome, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, the Watchtower Society, false religion, abandoning, forsaking, repenting the idol, the god of self, the worship of self, out of which comes, of course, many, many other sins. Transgenderism, the idol of self. You're not here for self. You're not here for the idol of self. You're here for God, and you're here to glorify Him. And if you don't do that, glorify and fear God, then you've not repented. Not yet. But I pray that in the love of God, that today He would give you that repentance, that He would give you that grace, that He would give you that favor. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia. Life is sacred. Life is God's to give and His to take away. Not man's, not yours. Thou shalt not commit adultery. and every form of sexual immorality. Sodomy, fornication, the whole nine yards. All that filth and uncleanness that fills Scotland today, fills the city of Glasgow today. Repent, says God. Turn from it. Flee from it. Run from it. Get your best trainers on and run as fast as you can from that filth and uncleanness that is a disgrace and a shame to Scotland today. Turn from it. In the fear of God, if you want to awaken when you die to everlasting life, you must repent, says God, or you will die in your sin. There are other commandments like it. Other commandments like it. Thou shalt not steal. Theft by means of the internet. Robbing your neighbor. Must be about a million ways in which you can be guilty of that one. Robbing God. Stealing from God. You've not given God the worship that's due to him. You've not lived in the fear of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The name of Jesus Christ, his Son. The blasphemy that fills the city of Glasgow today. Repentance, repentance. It has to be repented of, turned from, forsaken, deliberately, willingly. All of it. There is a list given to us of sin in the Bible. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that, Glasgow? That's the ABCs of the gospel. Don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? They cannot. There has to be repentance. It has to be turned from. The unrighteousness. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't delude yourself. Don't kid yourself on thinking that you can carry on in these filthy sins, in that blasphemy against God, cursing God to his face. And one day get to heaven, enter the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived, says God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, as boys that give themselves to men for toys, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's homosexuals, male and female, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But he goes on to say, talking about Christians, he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. They repented of their sin, and they were washed and they were made clean. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's how you enter God's kingdom. The only way that you enter God's kingdom. So, my friend, Glasgow, if you're to awaken when you close your eyes in death, if you're to awaken to everlasting life, you must needs repent. But that's not enough. That's not enough. You have to believe. You have to trust. You have to trust in the person of God's Son. You have to trust in him. You have to put your confidence, your full confidence, in the person of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And you must put your trust in what he has done. His living, his loving, his dying, his rising again from the dead. the gospel, in other words. If you don't believe, you can't be saved. If you don't believe that I am He, says Jesus, you'll die in your sin. You'll perish in your sin. There has to be repentance. There has to be faith towards the Son of God. There has to be a reliance, a confidence, a trusting, confiding in the Son of God and what He has done, not what you do. Not your religion or the lack of it. Not your imaginary good works. You have no good works. Even the money that you give to the homeless, even that's tainted with sin. Because you do it for your own pleasure. You do it just simply to make you feel good. Yeah. You don't do it because you care for the homeless. And even worse, you don't do it because you're not doing it in God. You're not doing it through His Son, Jesus Christ. There are no good works that are not conformed to the law of God. No good works at all. Religion will tell you, do and do. Do this, do the other. Do what we tell you. Do good works. This is what the Roman priest will tell you. The Roman priest will tell you, oh, go away, don't worry about it. Just try and be good. Just try and be good. Well, you've all tried that, but it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. Because you can't be good, because you're not good. Because God says there's not good, and there's nothing to do with good. We're all bad, and we're all very bad. And we're more bad than you would like to think. So you see, doing good, God says, no man shall ever be justified, made right with God, with himself, by the works of their own hand. Your doing will never get you to heaven. You have to trust in somebody else's. You need a perfect righteousness. You need to be found in that day. When you breathe your last, when you leave this world, if you're to awaken to everlasting life, you need to be found to having been trusting in a perfect righteousness that you haven't got, but Jesus has. And He gives it to those who trust in Him, to those who put their faith in Him, their confidence in Him, in what He did, His perfect work. Not your shambles. Not your sinful works. Man cannot be justified by works. Some people, they'll tell you, oh, your faith in Jesus, that's good. That's good, but you need to add something to it. Not just your faith, but your good works. No, no, the Bible says, faith and faith alone. The grace of God alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and the work of Christ alone, that's your only hope. That's your only hope. So to awaken to everlasting life, when you breathe your last, when you die, you must have, before then, some point, some juncture in your life, in your history, a time, a place that you can point to and say, that's when, by the grace of God, that's when I repented of my sin, that's when I believed upon, that's when I trusted in Jesus alone for my forgiveness, for my salvation. And if you have not got that, if that has not been accomplished, if that has not been your experience, the prophet says, then you shall awaken to shame and everlasting contempt. in that day when you stand before God, as you must, for we must all appear before the judgment throne of God and of Christ. In that day he judged Jesus, he will judge you, and he will hold you. I tell you, if you have not repented, if you have not believed on the name of the Son of God, he will hold you. Jesus, the Son of God, he will hold you in utter and absolute contempt. He will say to you in that day, "Get out of my sight, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Contempt and everlasting shame, not everlasting life, will be your portion in that day at the judgment throne of God. Oh, I tell you, Glasgow sinners, flee the wrath to come. The judgment of God, it's coming, pressing down upon you now. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? The judgment of God is on Scotland now. Can't you see it? The departure. Can't you see the closing churches? God's taking the gospel away from you. You ought to be on your knees, Glasgow, today, crying out to him, pleading with him that he would be merciful, that he would not take the gospel away from you altogether, because if he takes it away from you, you've got no hope left, sir. No hope at all. He's already judging you. The wrath of God is over you, Scotland. The wrath of God's over you, Glasgow, now, like a rash. Where do you see the wrath of God? Well, look at your behavior. Look at your behavior. Look at your conduct. Look at your sexual conduct. Look at the filthiness you've been given over to by. Get on your knees, boy. Get that smile wiped off your face. Get on your knees before God, before he destroys you. Your conduct, Glasgow. The filth and uncleanness. It's what happens, you see, when you reject the knowledge of God. God gives you over. And gives you over to what? Well, he gives you what you want. You say, "I don't want God. I don't want his gospel. I don't want his salvation." So God says, "Okay, I'll give you what you want." So he gives you over. He gives you more sin. He gives you what you want. He gives you what you love. And he gives you more and more and more until you're utterly and absolutely destroyed, until there's no way back. He gives you over to a reprobate mind. Where do you think the sodomy? Where do you think the transgenderism? Where do you think the woke culture? Where do you think the insanity of your modern day and culture comes from? God's given you over to reprobate mind. Do those things that are not fit for animals to do. Never mind human beings. That's the contempt that God has for you now. But in that day when he judges you, he will give you over, I tell you. He will give you over in that day to everlasting contempt. To be held in contempt by God. The God of grace and love, the God who today would save you from such an end, the God who so loved the world that he gave you the gift of his Son to die on the cross, to save and to deliver you from such contempt, from such an end. But you reject him. In that day you'll be given over for all eternity to the utter contempt of God in hell, in damnation. Oh, God will be there. Oh, God will be there. God's not absent in hell. He's there. He's on escape from them. Yeah, maybe perhaps you think in your godlessness today, you think, oh, well, I'll go to hell. At least I'll escape God. No, you won't. He's there. He's there, but not in love. He's there, not in grace. He's there in unmitigated wrath and contempt for those who are present there. That's the end of your sin. That's the end of your unbelief. When you close your eyes in death, that's what comes next. Everlasting contempt and shame. Shame. Your sins. That which you've done in the dark, in the quiet. That which you thought nobody saw, nobody knew about. God will publish your sins right across the entirety of creation. You don't blush now, Glasgow. You've forgotten how to blush. You don't know how to do that anymore. Your consciences have become so seared, so hardened. Shame on you, Glasgow. You've ruined yourself. You've ruined yourself, Glasgow. You've destroyed yourself. You don't know how to blush anymore. You don't know what shame is anymore. If you did, the things that go on in this city, I tell you, your faces would be buried in the dust in utter shame and disgrace, crying out to God that he would have mercy on you. But no, not yet. Not yet. You're not ready for that yet. But I do pray for you, Glasgow, that God would visit you at the day of his power, that he would come and convict you of these things of which I speak. That he would come and convict you and convert you, that he would save you, deliver you from your blindness, from your hardness, that he would come and break your heart, make you weep and howl, and the men cry out to him, what must I do to be saved? And they'll tell you again and again and again, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Glasgow. That's your only out, that's your only hope. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. But in that day, if you have not repented, if you have not believed in Jesus, in that day when you breathe your last and go out of this world, when you die, you'll awaken to everlasting contempt and shame, utter disgrace, for all eternity, a long, long, long time. Glasgow, I don't doubt for a moment there's many gamblers amongst you. You're willing to gamble with your soul, willing to gamble with your eternal destiny. Atheism is a temporary condition, Glasgow. It doesn't last. The moment you close your eyes in death, your atheism will be gone forever. Forever. But of course, there's no such thing as atheism now. You know that God is. There's not a man. There's not a woman. There's not a child born into this world that doesn't know that God is. The invisible things of God are clearly seen. You have no excuse, none whatsoever, but you've got even less excuse now after the gospel has been proclaimed amongst you here today. More culpable, better, you never heard the gospel. than hear it and reject it, not believe it. Utter contempt and shame in that day. But our hope and our prayer for you, Glasgow, is not that. Our hope for you is that you awaken, some of you at least anyway. You know, the Bible says, it's not you that choose God. It's not you that chooses Jesus. It's Jesus, he chooses who he saves. God has his own people. His plan, you see, his scheme, is not to save the entirety of humanity. God has chosen a people for himself out of the entire human race. I hope you're one of them. I hope you're one of them. What about the others? Well, the others are rejected. The others are disapproved of. The others, well, they don't get salvation. But I do, I sincerely hope you're one of God's chosen. Well, you see, how would I know if I'm one of God's chosen? Well, in hearing the gospel, in hearing the good news, in hearing the glad tidings, in hearing the message of God's immense love, in hearing of the wonderful Savior Jesus, who lived that blameless life and died on that cross, that you might have everlasting life through faith in his name. You would lay hold upon him. You would believe. You would run to him. You would hear his voice, not just the voice of a preacher. You would hear the voice of Jesus. My sheep, not the goats. The goats don't hear me. They're stone deaf. As my brother was preaching a few moments ago, a man walked by holding his ears. He didn't want to hear. I thought to myself, you're wasting your time. You're already deaf, mister. You can't hear the voice of the Savior. You're a goat. Is that you, Glasgow? You're a goat. You're stone deaf to the voice of Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the only evidence that you're one of God's chosen. That you hear the voice of Jesus today calling you, calling, 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 calling you apart, Glasgow, from your sin. Calling you into his light and love and lasting joy. Calling you, Glasgow. Come unto me, he says. And come you can. Oh, you say, I can't. Yes, you can. No, you won't, maybe. You won't, maybe. You will not come to me that you might have life. There's life for all Glasgow in Jesus. If Glasgow would come to him. But Glasgow won't come to him. You won't come to him that you might have life. But if you do, and you can, because he bids you to, on the authority of his word, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace with God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, from the knowledge that your sins have been forgiven, knowledge that you have repented and believed the gospel, the knowledge that you have eternal life in your soul. To the gospel. The gospel. You're prattling on, son. I can't hear a word you're saying. Go and get yourself a voice. Huh? You talk like a woman. I can't hear a word you're saying. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to me. Get on your feet and come and talk to me. And I'll answer you. Right.
Why would he allow the holy wars to happen?
Well, why is there not more wars?
Well, so, if God loves us all, why would he allow us to go on mass pilgrimages in the past to kill hundreds for the sake of his name, to convert people by force if there's only one God.
Please. That's perverted religion. It's always been, since Adam sinned in this world, there's always been perverted religion. And there still is today. You've got Roman, every world religion. You've got Roman Catholicism, you've got Islam, you've got Buddhism, the whole nine yards. According to the Oxford University Press, there are 9,900 religions in the world today, and there's no salvation in any world. I'm not here to tell you about religion, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, the Savior, God's Son. God loved you, His Son died for your sins.
Jesus didn't die for me though.
Sorry? He died for the sins of the world. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and would take yours away today. But the thing is, you have to believe. You have to trust in Him and what He did in order to get that salvation. It doesn't come to you automatically.
Where can I find the proof of this salvation?
In the Bible, sir.
Okay.
I'll give you a Bible if you want one.
I'll be honest, I'm not much of a reader. I don't have much time to read. I work in a warehouse.
Sorry, well, you can read some of it. Well, let me give you a small portion to begin with. There you go.
Okay.
Mark's Gospel, yeah? Have a read.
All right.
What's your name?
John.
John. Hey, give me a hand, John.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, God bless you, John.
All right.
So like I say, friends, you see, that's... I just demonstrated to you how easy it is to receive God's salvation. I offered John a copy of God's Word. He took it from my hand. God says to you, here's my Son, Jesus. Take Him from my hand by faith, and I save you. He came to His own people. His own people did not. They refused to receive Him. But to those who did receive Him, to those who believed on His name, to them He gave the power, He gave the right to become children of God. That's how you receive God's salvation, in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God. Some of you, madam. Some of you. Some of your face. Huh?
Some of you.
Some of you. Huh? Nothing, sir. I'm having a good day, sir. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my, what?
Have you read the Book of Enoch?
No. It's not good to me. It's not good to me, sir. No power in it, sir.
Up to the 4th century, it was in the Bible.
No power in it, sir. No power in it, sir. No power. Somebody's resurrecting that. I get to hear more and more about that. Anyway, friends, the words of Jesus, His admonition to you today, Glasgow. There's some, He says, many that shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting death.
You can't do it on your own either. You need a man.
Believe, you know what? Artificial insemination.
And where do you get the sperm? You don't invent it, do you?
Choice.
Can't do it without a man.
Repent and believe the gospel, madam. On your knees before God, cry out to Him. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus, Glasgow. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I'm louder than you. Repent and believe the gospel. On your knees, woman. Before the man Christ Jesus. Repent ye, He says, and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God's at hand, and that's the only way you can enter God's kingdom. You would like a copy of God's written word. I have Bibles, and I have New Testaments, and I have Gospels of John. You would like one? Feel free to come and ask for one. Freely given to you, freely received. If you've got a question, I haven't got the answer to all your philosophical dilemmas, but I do have the answer to the most important question. How does a man get right with God? Like somebody to pray for you, gladly do that. God bless you, Glasgow, and God have mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying souls.